Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church, for those who may be listening today for our message concerning Mother's Day. And I've titled our message today, Mothers in Christ. Mothers in Christ is everything. So much importance upon the duties and responsibilities. We had a little humor here recently with the father taking the mother's place. And I don't think I would want to take Kieran's place for more than a day, maybe, with Addie. Oh, so sweet. My little grandchild does require a lot of attention and responsible attention, not just, go play on the porch while I do my thing. You go do your thing and bounce on the trampoline and ride your trike or whatever. But it's pretty well 24/7 with certain age groups. And with her age, not quite four. She will be soon, May the 19th, she will be four, looking forward to her birthday and all. I cannot believe that. May the 19th, she'll be 4 years old. So it's just a lot of 24/7 there with her. But you know also it's 24/7 with the Lord in us. Even though we grow to be adults, we really need that attention from the Lord. We can't do it without Him. I can't stand before you today without Him. I don't want to. I can't. And I depend upon Him. For everything, every word, to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. But happy Mother's Day to all those who may be listening and all those that are here today. I just thank God for godly mothers. What a difference the influence makes on our next generation or not. So, I mean, it works both ways. We have a lot of mothers who are not dedicated and giving their hearts over to the Lord, and they're doing the best they can. And some of them providing very well for their children and providing means for them to attend college one day and being there with them in their ball games and being there with them in their recitals and being there with them in their tears. And all those things are wonderful, and it's good parenting, but it's not eternal. It's not geared toward eternal life. In the end result of it all, it's just a great motherhood on this earth for this time present. But without Christ, there's not eternal life. And if we don't give them eternal life or give them the opportunity for eternal life, what have we done? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mothers who understand that and know that make sure that their children understand the way, the truth, and the life and have that embedded in their hearts and also try to emphasize that to their children. Although children have a free will, they will do what they want to do at a certain age and point in time, and there's nothing in the world you can do to change that free will, but you can sow the seeds of righteousness in Jesus Christ into their hearts from day one, from the cradle. And another thing I'm understanding, too, I try to, a little bit, you can't get there very much, try to get into the mind of a woman, especially a mother. You can't. Men are, you know, the Mars-Venus thing, but I really think about this. I think about a mother bearing that child within her for approximately 9 months, having to get the child's nourishment from her, to get the blood supply, the oxygen, and everything, the DNA, it's all there inside that woman. And, the man, God has a function for both man and woman, and or else it can't come forth. We need the seed to bring it all about, and the man has his responsibilities, but the woman is carrying that child for approximately 9 months. So when you have that, which is, it's like you coming out of you, is how I'm thinking about it. Maybe wrong, but I'm thinking about you coming out of you, and you want to make sure that everything within you that has come out of you, you take care of that. And that's why that grizzly mom, look out. You don't want to rob a grizzly bear of her cubs, or you're going to feel the wrath. And so that mother feels that, especially in the Lord, that mother wants that child to be successful. That mother does not want that child to be turned over to darkness or the powers of darkness or go down a dark path. That mother wants to protect that child and be with that child and nurture that child. And sometimes the child will respond by saying, Mom, I know, I can do this. I'm old enough now. Mom, with that type of an expression. Mom. And so
the mother feels that too, and the mother needs to know when to let go and let God. I understand that. The first time that Shimmy pulled out of the driveway, our first licensed driver child, that was incredible. See her pulling out our brick driveway over here on Edison, and oh, she was ready to go. She was happy, but you know, I was hoping that I could let that go and let that happen and let her feel the joy of that and not let me get in a driver's seat and let me put a brake on that side and all this kind of stuff. But you got to let them go at a certain point in time. And I was watching nature just last night about the Lepizan horses in Spain. I don't know if anybody saw that or not, but they just tremendous horses, tremendous training. But when they weaned them, and when we weaned animals on the farm, the calves from the mother cows and stuff, when we weaned them, man, they just bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled, and they said, you almost drive you nuts, the calves being weaned from the mothers. And when I watched that show last night about these royal Lepizan horses, the little colts were weaned from the mothers at a certain age. I don't know, it was a year old or whatever. They broke away from them, and they were just neighing and, I mean, just doing all kinds of carrying. I never heard so much carrying on of horses in my life. The mares as well as the little colts, they were carrying on this big old arena to separate them. It lasted for a while, and then finally calmed down. And they finally realized this is another chapter, this is another page in my life, where they said, okay, where we go from here? And so I've tried to get into the mind of a woman a little bit there, understanding that they'll always be your children, and my children will also always be my children. And I want to make sure that I'm always there for them, to help them in any way that I can. And but you don't want to be oppressive and you don't want to be pushy, so you got to let them do. You got to let them live. You got to let them breathe. But we always want to be there for them, to teach them the ways of God, for sure. Are we always perfect, Ted, as fathers? Are we always perfect as mothers? One thing that I really think is valuable for our children to understand, that parents aren't perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And we may make decisions sometimes that are very disappointing to our children, and they may not understand why we made those decisions. And they could be maybe, perhaps not even the right decision. But there's the effort is there to protect them and to watch out for them. And I mean, there was times in my life growing up, my mother didn't even want me to cross the country gravel road. And the only people that came by was a mailman and an oil pumping man that pumped the wells in the farm, and maybe a milkman to go to the dairies and go to the dairy, the milk truck. And so I said, Mom, Mom. And I bugged her and bugged her and bugged her and bugged her. Let me go hunting. Let me go hunting. My brothers are hunting. Let me go hunting. She finally let me go when I was around 11. And so I just am grateful for the protection that was there. But we always don't agree with Mom's decisions. But I thank God for the godly mom that I had and the father that I had. And so, therefore, by the grace of God, mothers, here we go. It's another day to keep looking to the Lord, to keep looking to Him for wisdom, how we are to minister to our children and our fellow neighbors and our friends, our church members, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to constantly be looking to the Lord. So I want to share something with you today that it is so profound. There's nothing greater than there to be a godly mom. And I want to share a testimony with you about a mother with two children, and the importance of an influence that people can have upon others and affect their lives in many ways. I want to say this because I'm getting ready to say this again, but in life, sometimes there's many things that happen before a soul comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I want to share this right here. There are links in the chain that take place sometimes before a soul gives their heart over to Jesus. And sometimes there's many links, and sometimes people get it right away. Sometimes people get it later. The thief on the cross, he was kind of at the end of the chain there with many different links perhaps going on. I don't know his story. All we know is that he was a thief and he was a bad guy that asked Jesus to save his soul, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But how many of you can relate that in a person's life, sometimes there's many different links to the chain the messages that you hear and things that happen, and then you finally get it. That's why in my life, I try to be very patient with people who don't get it, because I haven't got several things yet myself, so I don't have any desire to point my finger at anyone else while I'm still in class. I'm still in school. So a lot of things and events take place, but I'm going to share something with you about a mother who eventually got it, and I'll share that as we go here. And there's, when I mention the links in the chain, you'll hear that come out when I'm sharing this testimony. But it's very, very powerful, and I'd like to share it with you today because it has everything to do with the end result of a wonderful mother. And I think it's all glory to God for this particular case. It's called Linking Together, and that's why the chain is here for you to see pictorially the linking together. And I'll share this with you. A person coming to Christ is like a chain with many links. There are many influences and conversations that precede a person's decision to convert to Christ. I know the joy of being the first link at times, the middle link, usually and occasionally the last link. God has not called me to only be the last link. He has called me to be the faithful and to love all people. This is a quote by evangelist Cliff Netzke. And this person, in many ways, reminds me of someone with us here today. And perhaps you'll relate to this and know perhaps who I think of when I'm reading this. Vicki Armel didn't look the part. She was an attractive blonde mother of two children, with a contagious smile, warm personality, but she also had a reputation as being an aggressive, street-toughened detective for the Fairfax County Police Department in Virginia. A spiritual skeptic, Vicki had little patience with Christians tried to talk to her about Jesus. She would put her hand up and say, "Back up." You ever hear the expression, "talk to the hand"? My guys joke around that way. Go back and forth. Talk to the hand. In other words, back up. I don't want to hear it. If they persisted, she would explain that she had investigated many suicides and homicides. Never once did that dead person get up in 3 days, she would say. Then she became partners on a series of cases with Detective Mike Motafis. They called him Mo, who is a committed Christian. Linked him up. See, God does the linking. So you're going to link him up with Mo. Link number one. Watch how God works. See, I had a lot of links in my life too. And I think you can relate to this. Well, the Lord arranged this, I believe, with all my heart. Linked her up with Mo, who is a committed Christian, link number one in the chain. For a year, he periodically offered to talk to her about Jesus, but she rebuffed him like she had all the others. Yet somehow, Mo's persistence made an impression on her. "He never gave up on me," she recalled later. One day, they were sent on an investigation to Maryland, which meant they would be in the car together for 5 hours. "Okay, this is your time," Vicki said to Mo. "You can talk to me about Jesus all you want under one circumstance. When we get back to Virginia, I don't want you to talk to me about Jesus anymore." 5 hours. I think I would really be looking to the Lord what to say here. But I'm going to give you 5 hours with me. When we get back, no more. Wow. The harvest. The harvest. Mo grabbed the opportunity, encouraged her to pray and ask God to reveal himself to her. "I guarantee he will answer you if you seek him," he said. Mo talked about the reliability of the Gospels and the fulfillment of ancient prophecies in the life of Jesus against all mathematical odds. And he explained the Bible's central message of redemption through the death of the Son of God. "Suppose a serial killer is found guilty of his crimes." This is what he's saying to her. "Suppose a serial killer is found guilty of his crimes," Mo said. "Then suppose the judge gives him a $50 fine and no jail time. How would you feel about that?" Vicki said she would be enraged. Mo continued, "The payment for the penalty of our sin is so high that only the death of God in the flesh could wipe out the consequences of our sin," he said. Imagine the judge found the criminal guilty and sentenced him to death, then got off the bench, sat in the electric chair, and died in the place of the guilty man. Vicky, God paid the penalty for your sin as Jesus was executed on the cross. Judge gets off the stand, gets an electric chair, pays the penalty. Vicky listened intently but made no comment. As a trained detective, she needed time to investigate what Mo had explained to her. The very next day, she listened to the Bible on CD in her office. Link number two. Some people say, like that song said, "I hear you knocking, but you can't come in," you know, over and over again. But the Lord is knocking. You know what I'm talking about. Link number two. Mo gave her tapes from his pastor, Lon Solomon. Link number three. And Christian books. Link number four. She began listening to Christian radio as well. Link number five. "I had never seen anyone so anxious to learn more about God and the Bible," Mo said. Another friend of Vicky's, Tim Perkins, invited her to Mountain View Community Church on Easter of 2004, link number six, where the people warmly welcomed her. People warmly welcomed link number seven. Don't despise the day of small things. It is critical. It is important. Where you are and what you do. Even greeting someone is a link. When it's done in the love of God. And I've seen it over and over again. And she heard the gospel from Pastor Mark Jenkins. Link number eight. The church also gave her a copy of my book, The Case of Easter. Link number nine. Which discusses my examination of the resurrection of Jesus, an event that was the major stumbling block for Vicky. It turned out to be the greatest gift for an evidence-minded detective. "I read it and read it," Vicky said. "Everything I needed to prove the case for Jesus I found in this book." For everything to come together in this world, you've probably heard many different ways, but there are no mathematical statistics. There is none on this earth that can ever give you a probability of what Jesus did, a ratio happening. It's like taking a Swiss watch and throwing it out on the floor, all coming together. It's that insane to believe that that would happen. It defies probabilities. Virtually none of the people who were links in the chain of influence in Vicky's spiritual journey knew each other or knowingly worked together to reach her. Isn't that awesome? But each one of them was an influence that God orchestrated to pull her slowly toward the cross. Eventually, overwhelmed by the facts, Vicky prayed to receive Christ as her forgiver and leader. Mo was there to see her baptized. You got a picture over here, being baptized out in a lake someplace. What a joy it was for me to watch Vicky publicly dedicate her life to the Lord, to God. A God she once swore didn't exist. Swore didn't exist. You see, but people do know God exists, whether they swear that or not. It's there because Romans tells us it's downloaded in the conscience of an individual to know that there is a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Romans elaborates on that. There is a God. You can't deny it. Just deny it doesn't mean he doesn't exist. He's going to go away. He's there. Choose you this day whom you will serve. This is incredible. The following year, Vicky got up in front of the church to tell her story of her spiritual journey. She began by saying, "My name is Vicky Armel. And if you told me last year I would be standing in front of hundreds of people talking about Jesus Christ, I would have said you're crazy." Have you heard these kind of testimonies before? I have. Just one The following year, Vicki got and told her story. Just one later, on May the 18th, 2006, Vicki was working at the Sully District Police Station when she got word there had been a couple of carjackings in the area. This is 1 year later. She rushed out of the police station to investigate. Mo had been in the midst of addressing an envelope and was just 15 seconds behind her when she had, and another officer emerged from the station. They were instantly shot to death by a crazed teenage gunman brandishing an AK-47 assault rifle. The senseless slaying stunned the community. Mo was grief-stricken. I will miss my partner, my friend, my hero, my sister in Christ, he said. But that's not the end of Vicki's story. Nearly 10,000 people, many of them police officers, paid their respects at Vicki's funeral. I'm sure that none of them came expecting to hear from her personally. Yet at the funeral, Jenkins played the tape of the testimony Vicki had given at the church in the previous year, in which she described her journey from skepticism to faith. I don't remember this. 10,000 people. Wow. And look what happens. I know there's probably a Vicki, she says this in her tape, I know there's probably a Vicki or Victor out there who is searching for God. She said on tape to the hushed crowd, I hope that my story may help you find God. And it has. Incredibly, even in death, Vicki has become a link in the chain. She's become a link. You're a link. I'm a link. In the chain of influence, helping to lead many people to Christ, after the funeral, the church received emails and phone calls from spiritually interested inquiries all over Northern Virginia. Some people just walked in off the street, Jenkins said. They said, we want what Vicki had. When I read that for the first time, I about lost it. Do people see Jesus in you, or do they see too often you in you? I don't want people to see me. I want them to see Jesus. And I want to give him all the credit, all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for anything that emanates that depicts Jesus Christ. I want that. One person told Jenkins, it made me rethink my whole life over. I know I've made many mistakes and hurt some people. I want to be saved. I want the Lord in my life. I want Him to know that I love Him. I'm not sure how to go about doing this. Can you help? The unusual nature of Vicki speaking at her own funeral even brought media attention, which spread her story and the story of her Savior all over the globe. Who knows how many people will be encouraged to seek Jesus as a result? A church member by the name of Dwayne Higdon summed it up best. Vicki didn't just save lives, he told a reporter. She saved souls. You see, it's a legacy thing. It's a heart of a servant thing here in our journey with the Lord. We go out as servants. And that's our Mother's Day message today. It's all based upon servitude. Based upon mothers in Christ, serving Christ, influencing the community in a Christian way, which we see diminishing more and more every day. Talk to the hand, people are saying, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Yet Jesus has his hands, his arms wide open. Come unto me, all you that heavy laden and are burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So often the mothers are mothers of Christ, and the husbands is sometimes he's doing his thing and he's not there, maybe on the same page. But mothers, we'll read a couple scriptures here. Be patient and exhibit Jesus Christ no matter what. And sometimes vice versa. So remember that all the links in the chain, the beginning, middle, and end, are vital in leading a person to Christ. Most of the time, God uses us in an initial or middle link. Even your smallest gestures, an invitation to church, a gift of a book, an act of kindness in the name of Jesus can become one of the many Christian influences that will accumulate over time in the person's life, hopefully bringing him or her to faith to Jesus Christ. Do you all see where it's important? The little things are important. Little is much when God is in it. I love that song. I can just loop it over and over again all day long at work where I am. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Wow. That resonates. It goes through me. It pierces me. Little is much when God is in it. That's why I'm not ashamed to bend my knees to pick up a penny along the way. You're too proud to pick up a penny. We'll forego the $100. We'll go that little surprise thing coming your way that was worth $5,000. You're too proud to pick up a penny. All too often, Christians feel that they have failed if they never actually prayed with someone to receive Christ. Do you ever feel that way? If you never prayed for someone to receive Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, but they mistakenly believe that the unexpected adventure of evangelism is confined to that single moment of a person's conversion. Unfortunately, they forget that generally it takes a variety of experiences and conversations with numerous people over time before a person decides to become a Christian. And we just give up. I prayed for them. Heck, you know, I prayed, you know, why don't you just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's a matter of heaven or hell, eternity here, you know. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? And we get a little impatient here because God was also patient with us. Very patient. I can think of many people whose spiritual input encouraged me to investigate Christianity. There was the authenticity of the Christian neighbors, the transformation of my newly converted wife, the prayers of my mother, the kindness of Christians who offered to serve us during our child's illness, the authors of the book I read, the faithful preaching of the gospel at the church I visited, and even the testimony of a convicted street gang leader who shared his newfound faith with me. I'm sure you too can think of numerous links that eventually led you to Christ. Mothers, mothers, mothers have been so responsible for those links along the way. Using illustrations. You know, I know you don't like this dinner that I'm fixing you, but believe me, there's a spiritual food also that we may not like at times. If you eat it, you will live. If you don't, you'll die. I mean, just on and on and on. Today, honey, we're going to do our laundry. We have to get our laundry clean. We go to Jesus to get clean spiritually. We go to the laundry. We go to the washer and the dryer to get our clothes. I mean, just on and, I mean, a mother may not be thinking about all the powerful influences that she can have upon a child. Oh, you got a scrape. Let's clean it. Let's wash it. Let's debris it because bacteria, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. Bacteria gets in your blood, honey. We got to get, make sure it's clean. The wound is clean. We put a Band-Aid on. This is why we do it. This is what antibacterial, you know, salves are all about. You're just teaching, teaching, teaching. Now you wash the clothes. Now you make a dinner. Now you make pancakes. Now you do the eggs. Now you see. Now you take the garb, and then you learn. And there's a little neighing, like the horses, you know, they're just being weaned and they kick a little bit. But I remember one time my son, his duty was simply to take the garbage out. We had a book one time, Jimmy, Sylvia Stout wouldn't take the garbage out. I remember that little line right there, but Sundana had duties and responsibilities. And I told him what his responsibilities were, and he was at school. at Seminole Presbyterian one day, and the garbage was still sitting at the end of the lane. I called the school. I felt a fire in my bosom. Because I had cautioned him many times, and he has failed. And I said, okay, well, let's try it again. Do whatever you got to do. I don't care. Make notches on your wall or write it down. Whatever you got to do. Take the garbage out. Take the garbage out. Well, he failed, and he knew he should. But anyhow, evidently there wasn't a wrinkle in the brain there that was deep enough to remind him. He went to school at Seminole Presbyterian, and I called the school, and I said, my son needs to come home. The whole school thinks that something, a catastrophe happened. The whole school was buzzing about it. Well, they had to release him because I demanded it, you know. So they released him to come home and take the garbage out, and the whole school was buzzing because Sundana didn't take the garbage out. They thought that was hilarious. But he didn't forget. He didn't forget after that. That little wrinkle in the brain and went chiseled a little bit deeper there that day. So moms and dads, we do have responsibilities, but you got to back it up. If you don't back it up, it's just a joke. Now, if Jesus doesn't back up what he says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If it's just a joke, then let's eat, drink, and be merry. We of all people are to be most pitied and miserable as Christians because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. If I say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, somebody else says he's not, both can't be true. Somebody's lying. Somebody's telling the truth. Yes, he is. No, he isn't. Yes, he is. No. Both can't be true. I'm so happy I know it's true. And that trueness will get me to the kingdom. He said, I'll never lie to you. I'll never deceive you. I'll never give you a rock for a fish. There are opportunities for adventure along the chain. Our role is to be faithful to God's command, to be His ambassadors in a spiritually perplexed world. You may never know how many times God has used you as a beginning or middle link until you get to heaven. And then you will be eternally thankful that you reached out to so many seemingly simple ways to people in your life. In her testimony played at her own funeral, Vicki Armel had a message for Christians like you and me. Don't give up on your friends, she said. Be there for them. Just always talk about Jesus. And trust that God will use you as a more important link along the way. And this scripture in Corinthians 3, 7 and 8 says, so neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. One plants, another waters, but only God can give the increase. Only God can give the increase. Not you, not me. And sometimes it seems like people take pride in perhaps, look what I did. I brought so-and-so to faith in Jesus Christ. No, you didn't. No one can come to the Father except the Spirit of God draws them. You can't save anybody. But you can be grateful to the Lord that you're being used as a link and not a deterrent for them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mothers, mothers, mothers. Oh, how important your commission is. Your duties are. Your responsibilities to behold. Very, very heavy. I would not want to take and exchange places with Shirley, nor do I think she wants to take my place. We have roles, we have responsibilities, we have duties. We have a commitment to the living God to make sure that we are not a stumbling block to those around us, whether it be our children, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, our community, our fellow employees. We're not to be stumbling blocks, but we're to be a link that they can see Christ in us, bringing them also to Jesus Christ. Today, I just want to share something with you in the scriptures that you have in your handout to go along with this. big time responsibilities. I thank God for the testimonies that I read to you about this precious soul, Vicky, who was gunned down by an AK-47, leaving the police station by this thug teen, who I don't know if he ever came to know the Lord or not, or if his life was required of him in prison, and I don't know. But I do know what an influence his soul made, and that she did know Jesus Christ when she went out of that police station for that time, for the last time. And now she's with the Lord. Wow, Mo must have really felt the loss, also felt the gain into the kingdom of God, that this soul knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She said, you got 5 hours to share with me, Jesus. We get back, I don't want to hear any more. And that 5 hours was enough. Praise the Lord. But many different links. There was 9 there in the example I gave you, and there's 20 here. Are you a 20 linker? Are you a 200 linker? Are you a 2,000 linker? What is it in your life that God is doing and tugging on your heart? Perhaps you, most of us here, perhaps know the Lord, but perhaps you know people that you can relate to what I'm saying. In your handout today, if you would turn to 1 Peter just briefly. This is Mother's Day, and we probably want to get on down the road and do some things. And whatever your plans are, I don't know, but just keep this in mind. Make sure you don't go anywhere without Jesus. Don't leave home without Him. In 1 Peter chapter 3, one thing that impressed me, verse 1, and I want to say something today about that, is just, as I read, without reading chapter 2, I've read it many times before, I understand the connection, but I'm just saying, if you started reading 1 Peter chapter 3, you just started reading it without reading chapter 2. Let's just say you read the first line, it says, in the same way, you wives. In the same way, you wives. I said, well, what do you mean the same way? So we're talking about servitude here. We're talking about being servants. And so let's just go back just a little bit and go back to verse 18 in chapter 2. We're talking about servitude. We're talking about servants. That's what he's talking about. So when you look at chapter 2, he's referring in chapter 3 in the same way. I want you to understand something about this servitude. But anyhow, in verse 18 of chapter 2, 1 Peter 2:18, it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. There may be times when I'm unreasonable with Shirley. But there's to be respect, you see. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Anyone in here feel you've ever suffered unjustly? Unjustly? Really, it could be very true, too. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. In verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose. Wow! You know what your calling is as a Christian mom? We're going to make reference to you wives. And this is for all of us, we know that. But for you have been called for this purpose, to lay your life down, basically, is what we're saying here. To lay it down as a servant, you've been called for this purpose. You've been called. Called by who? Shirley hadn't been called by me. She's been called by God Himself through Jesus Christ. She's been called. She has a calling in her life. You've heard that expression before? We've been called to lay it down, to go into the harvest. For people like Vicky, who was gunned down by AK 47, 57, or 67. Gunned down. Her life ended. Tragic. We could use her. God, why would you do that? God knows what He's doing. Time to be born, time to go. I cannot go around circles with God on that when someone's time is to go. I can't do that. I gotta trust God. But I thank God that Vicky knew the Lord. It says, for you have been called, verse 21, for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you in a, what does your Bible say? Leaving you a what? My Bible says example. Is that you, Michelle, said that? An example. He left us an example to lay it down. Because he's going to tell you what that example is right here. For you to follow in his steps. Where he leads, I will follow. Where he leads, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Well, sometimes we'll go with him a few steps, but then we'll get off and do what we want to do, then get back on when it's more convenient to do so. And so, for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. And here's the key. Here's the example. It says right here, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. We have to continue to entrust ourselves to the Lord, mothers, when husband doesn't understand you or what's going on with you or where you're coming from. We have to entrust ourselves to the Lord to take care of him in his ignorance or whatever he's doing right now that I'm not agreeing with. You have to entrust that to the Lord. We got to entrust our children to the Lord. We got to entrust ourselves to the Lord for God to do a work in our lives. Jesus kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. We have a guardian and we have a shepherd, mothers, of our souls, and that is Jesus Christ. Entrust yourselves to him. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. You'll have the patience, not of Job, you'll have the patience of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will help you to be patient in any and every circumstances that you may face. Sometimes, how many of you are ready to, like a pressure cooker, be a little home bomb and go off? Have you felt that? A little pressure cooker home bomb, just a little micro bomb. Nobody ever sees it, but it's boom, boom, going off one side. I'll see you later, or whatever. But I know my children. They have pressure cooker experiences. I don't care how old they are or how young we are. I know Nessie faces things. I didn't like it when my mother said no. And when she said no, indeedy, that was it. Mom, can I? No, indeedy, you cannot. And if you do, I'll tell your father when he gets home. But indeedy meant exclamation, forget it, you're not going anywhere with that. They don't go hire a lawyer or anything. That's it. No, indeedy, you're out of here. She had her way of expressing finality. No, indeedy. Well, anyhow, that's why chapter 3, verse 1 says what it says. It says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Behavior is very verbal spiritually. So behavior, it's a picture painting 1,000 words. Behavior is everything. Without a word, be won. Win the husbands without a word. Through behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. We're going to finish here. Chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external braiding of the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Is the Bible here? Is this a scripture where women can finally find something where they don't have to wear dresses, they wear pantsuits? It says, because the adornment must not be external, braiding of the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. What we're talking about here, we want the adornment of the heart, not the external. Can women wear gold? Can women wear real gold, not knockout real gold? Can they braid their hair and do all? Yes, 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 yes. But that, don't think that that's the beauty that God is looking for. He's looking for the beauty of the heart. But let it be the hidden person of the heart in verse 4, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, imperishable, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, the former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Wow. I mean, it's just some words. Words of wisdom, where we don't have to yak so much, do we? Men as well. We don't have to yak so much, but we need to lay it down and live it. I think Vicky, the person who was gunned down, not only did she hear what Mo had to say, she saw the life that Mo lived. Can you imagine at her funeral, she's got the tape that in church that day of giving someone who was absolutely against God, agnostic and all these things, giving her life to Jesus and taping that at a funeral with 10,000 people listening, many police officers and law enforcement people up in Virginia. Even around the world it went. So Mo must have also been exhibiting Jesus as well as sharing Jesus. In other words, we got to walk what we talk, don't we? And I thank God today for mothers in Christ who are striving to live a life and show their children and show their husbands and show this world and their community that Jesus Christ is alive and well. He's not dead. He's alive because He lives in me. Mothers who may be listening and fathers may be listening and children may be listening to this message today. I'm speaking from my heart. This is not something that has been fabricated to impress anybody. I shared the testimony about Vicky because here's a mother of two children and lost her life in the duty of serving mankind as a public servant. And yet her testimony lives to this day because I'm reading something about her today that would have perhaps help you and me be encouraged to draw even closer to Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him, make it your business to know Him. Get busy living or get busy dying. But do get busy, one or the other. May God bless you for those who have heard our message over the internet today. And I just want to share with you something that is so important to understand. For all have sinned in Romans 3:23 and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be, not maybe, you shall be saved." And then Acts 4:12 says, "For there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name that has been given to men under heaven by which men must be saved." What a God, what a mighty God we serve. Make it your business, if you don't know Him, for those who may be listening, to do what Vicky did, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't know if this is your last day on this earth. God bless you.